May the Lord help us in speaking and hearing this evening. I would direct your prayerful attention to Luke 24 and verse 15. Luke 24, the 15th verse. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. May the Lord help us to consider a few aspects of these two walking from Jerusalem to this village of Emmaus. We consider the background before we come to the particular verse that we have laid upon our spirit. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, of course, we read it was the first day of the week, and this is Luke's version of the Lord Jesus Christ being risen, and how that they found the stone rolled away when they came and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it speaks of the women that came, and then Peter stooping down, and he wondered in himself, verse 12, at that which was come to pass. But Jesus was not there. And then we start from verse 13. This is the only gospel that mentions this in any length. You will find two verses in Mark that relate to it, Mark 16, where verses 12 and 13, that it says, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Now, that word residue is interesting, because that suggests to me that they were part of the larger group of disciples. We know they were not part of the 11, but when it says went to tell the residue, as you know, there were 70 followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as in disciples, and the wider group of disciples, and it would appear that quite likely they were amongst those. But that's the only other recording we have of this particular scene which Luke goes into in some detail. And really, friends, it's beautiful detail, and there's much for us to learn from it. And firstly, as we look at it from verse 13, two of them were walking that same day. It doesn't say what time of day. We know, though, that they turned back when it was evening time. So I would think this was late afternoon, early evening. And they were walking the 7 miles, which it is to translating the three score furlongs, is around 7 miles. Which, of course, would be about 10 or 11 kilometres. And so a reasonable walking distance. No one knows where Emmaus actually is these days. It's not been recorded anywhere. But what is lovely is the Greek meaning of the word Emmaus. And that is warm spring. And I thought of this. You know, when the Lord Jesus comes and gives us some hope in him, and some word is upon our spirit and our thoughts, and we are favoured to have a touch, there's like a warm spring springing up in our hearts. Friends, it's lovely when we're on the road to Emmaus, in that sense, the place of the warm spring. The place where we can say, did not our heart burn within us? Because the Lord Jesus Christ drew near and went with us. So that's an interesting thing. And Verse 14 says they talked together of all these things that had happened. Talking together. Fellowship, friends. Communion. Talking to one another of the things of God. Talking to one another of the things in our daily life. It's good that we do so, you know. I always think of that old BT advert, it's good to talk. And actually, it is good to talk. It's good to talk of things in this way. As we read in Malachi, that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened unto them, and a book of remembrance was written unto them and to those that thought upon his name. Oh, may we be given that ability to talk together of all these things, and at this season of the year to talk together of these things that we know and desire to have more knowledge of regarding Christ, his sufferings, the ignominious death that he suffered, and then the rising again the third day, and then the appearing, and this was one of them, of course, the appearing to his disciples and to Mary and to Mary Magdalene and to the disciples at the seashore as they were fishing, and others, many others as well, when the Lord appeared after he had risen again. It's a wonderful season of reflection, is the Easter season, and may we be given that time to reflect. It was interesting, friends, because I saw someone today, well, he's a plumber, actually, and he doesn't really know much about religion at all, but he just said to me, he said, I'm feeling for you, because it must be a really busy time this Easter. And I said to him, it is a busy time, but it's a wonderful time too. And he said, I'm sure it is for Christian believers. And that, how sad that, of course, he doesn't get there himself. But you see, this is the thing, friends. Oh, this season of the year might be a season of blessing for us each. And it will be if Jesus himself draws near and goes with us. Well, anyway, we'll come back to the verse of our text, but what is lovely in verse 16 is they didn't know the Lord was with them. And you know that speaks so often of the child of God in the pathway, that the Lord is with us, but we don't know he's with us. We're not perceptive of his helping hand. We're not understanding that he's walking with us and holding our right hand. We don't know or feel it. Sometimes we do. But often we are not cognizant of it. And yet, his presence is still with us. His favour is still upon us. His mercy is with us. Friends, it's a wonderful theme. And so, he speaks to them. Now, let's just think of this. They're walking along on the road that they know to Emmaus. And suddenly someone comes and joins with them. We don't know whether Jesus caught them up. We don't know whether he started at Jerusalem. We can only assume that he suddenly came in their midst, because we know that's how the Lord appeared after he was after he rose again from the dead. He suddenly would appear. But the thing was, it doesn't say that they were affrighted. It doesn't say that they wondered what he was doing. All it says is he said, "What manner of communications are these that ye have? What are you talking to each other about?" And then he says this, if you noticed it, and are sad. Now, of course, you'd think about this. If two people were walking a particular way and you suddenly join with them, you would have to know a bit of what they were conversing to know they were sad, or perhaps they might have so shown it on their faces, but he knew they were sad. There's a beauty in this, friends, that the Lord Jesus, a God in heaven, he knows when his people are sad. He knows our sadness is. He knows our sorrows. Why? Because our sorrows in the scale he weighs and measures out our pains. He knows. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he have tried me, he shall bring me forth as gold. He knoweth. And that's a beautiful thing to think of this evening. And so he knew they were sad. He knows the emotions of the believer. And one of them answers, Cleopas. We don't read anywhere in the rest of Scripture about Cleopas. And we don't know who he was walking with. Some of the commentators suggest it may well have been his wife. But we don't know. And we're not meant to know. But Cleopas, he is the one who speaks to the Lord here. And he says, art thou a stranger? They assumed this man to be a stranger. He'd come to Jerusalem because it was the time of year that they had that they were going through the Passover. So strangers did come to Jerusalem. It would have been perfectly normal for a stranger to be there. Art thou a stranger and hast not known? Don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard? But Cleopas, just for a minute, Cleopas, his name in the Greek is translated thus, glory to the Father. How beautiful is the translation, a lot of these names in Scripture, both in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, and Greek in the New. Glory to the Father. Friends, Cleopas, meaning glory to the Father, was having to give glory to the Son. Oh, friends, I believe we can see in a strange way how the three, one three God was there. No, he wasn't literally in Cleopas, but his name, glory to the Father. And there was the Son who gave glory to his Father, walking with Cleopas. How beautiful. Well, what things? He said, what things? Of course Jesus knew all these things. But what things? He wanted to hear what they'd got to say about it. And of course they talked it all through. And we trusted, verse 20, we thought he would redeem Israel. And now he's died. Today is the third day. But there's an empty grave. So they acknowledge, verse 23, and he was alive. They fear he's alive because that's what the vision of angels said. And then, verse 25. O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And he says, Christ ought not to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. In other words, he must suffer these things and he must enter into his glory. And he begins at Moses. Notice this. He goes right back to Moses. We think there, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounds the scriptures of things concerning himself. Can you imagine what this sermon was like? Friends, apart from the Sermon on the Mount, it would have been one of the best sermons ever preached, of course, preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. No better preacher ever will grace the earth, will it? The Lord was perfect in his preaching. Wow, he opened the scriptures. And then we next read, they drew nigh to the village. Now, I don't know how long it would have taken them. Perhaps 2.5 hours or something. And we don't know how long that they communed with the Lord Jesus. But here they are now at the village. And he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, gone past the village. Carried on. Why did the Lord do that? You know, the Scripture is so wonderful in its fullness, really. I thought how beautiful that hymn we just sung. The little things. And yet they're so important, as it is in Scripture. Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his divine eye, and it's seeing it day by day in the pathway, friends. There's so much teaching. And so it was here. He made as though he would go further. Now we read that and move on. But why? Because he wanted to bring about in them the very statement they said to show forth their love to him. Abide with us. Yes. He wanted to bring that out of them. Abide with us. It's towards evening. The day is far spent. Abide with us. Don't go on. Don't pass me by. Oh, that lovely hymn, you know, friends. A cousin's husband that I buried last year was so blessed under that hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Pass me not. It's a beautiful hymn. I don't know whether it's in the book, but it's yes, it is. How beautiful as it comes to mind is that hymn. Let us just look at that. Pass me not, O gracious Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And so, abide with us. And we're seeing at the end, God willing, that lovely hymn written by Henry Light in the last 3 months of his life. He was only 54 when he died. He was an ill man, and he went to the French Riviera to get some warm weather and to make him better. And actually he died, I believe, in a hotel or an establishment that way in 1847, and only a young man, but a youngish man, middle-aged, but he wrote that beautiful hymn, Abide with Me. Fast falls the eventide, based on those very words. Friends, have you asked the Lord to abide with you? When you feel his presence, when you know that he's near, that he's been walking with you, abide with me, Lord. The day is far spent. I need thee. I need thee to continue with me, to go before me, to watch over me. I do need thee, Lord. When he went in, they constrained him. I love that. Friends, it's constraining the Lord in prayer, an exercise and burden. He will have his people to do it. He made as if he would have gone further. And it came to pass that he took bread and he blessed it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened at that point. Now much could be said of this, but just to say before we come to our word really, friends, is that you see, their eyes were opened and then he disappeared. But their eyes were opened, I believe, because of the way he blessed the bread. Because of the way he granted his favour upon it. They knew it was the Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It is the Lord. And so, well, they immediately said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? And so they rose up the same hour and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, verse 33. So that's why we know they weren't some of the 11. And so on and so forth. Well, he was made known to them in breaking of bread. Friends, when did the Lord Jesus break the bread of life, the word, and he was made known to you in the breaking of the bread, that it came upon your spirit, the words of blessing and favour. Well, rather a lot on the background, friends, but it's such a beautiful message for us. And it came to pass that while they communed together. Now, we've talked about them talking and communing together from the previous verse, but they also reasoned. And I did wonder what they did reason. Were they trying to work out what these things meant? They were no doubt trying to think, well, it doesn't add together and we can't make, well, use the expression, head or tail of it. It's like you and I in our life sometimes, friends. It's like you and I in our spiritual life. Can't understand things. Why, Lord, is this happening to me? Why am I having to walk this pathway? Why, says the hymn writer, this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly can they be worse who have never heard his name. When we get those dull periods in our religion, and we do, friends, we're not all full of the spark of life every minute, are we? But why? Why am I having to walk in this way? Reasoning. Well, friends, come, let us reason together. That's good reasoning. That though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be white as wool. That's good reasoning, friends. Oh, may we reason together in the things of God. But Jesus himself drew near. That's what you need, friends. There's a journey. They're on a journey. And Jesus himself drew near to them on that journey. You and I are on a journey of faith to get to heaven. And we need Jesus to draw near and go with us. May he do so. Perhaps there are those here that have got a new journey, a new venture, a new circumstance, a new situation. May you prove the truth of these words. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I have never forgotten Mr. Spurling Tyler speaking from these very words at my wife's sister and her husband's wedding at the Dicker in 1984, many years ago. And he spoke so beautifully of the Lord Jesus going before them in all their married life. And so they have proved it despite the ups and downs. You see, friends, the ups and downs of trials and difficulties in their life. And so, friends, to know in those new journeys we've got. But the existing journey, that we need the Lord to draw near, don't we? And when we get those doubts and fears rise in our hearts, we really need him. And sometimes those little daily things. I did feel encouraged in that hymn. You see, I was thinking of Leslie Hyde, was pastor, of course, at Shaw's Corner, Red Hill, and thinking of his wife, Constance Hyde. And I remember reading in her, in an obituary, a book written on after she died, a chapter really in a book written, I think, by Matthew Hyde. And it was lovely, really, because it spoke about one evening when she was so troubled about reversing her car out of the drive. What did we sing? My life's minutest. Just think about this. Now, to reverse a car out of a drive, for most people, probably wouldn't be a problem. But for her, it was a busy street. All the cars would be parked up at that time of night, because it was about 11:30 at night, and she was going to pick her husband up from a preaching tour, and he'd come back by train. And she was dreading it, and she couldn't see how she could make that simple procedure really to work, because she wasn't a confident driver. The prayer went up through her heart. Lord, help me. Lord, be with me in this manoeuvre. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord works? Well, you know, I think it's hymn 13. She had two lines come to her of a hymn while she was praying there, as she sat in the car and turned the ignition on. And it was this: my soul thou hast, let what will ail. In other words, whatever is happening, thou hast a never-changing friend. A never-changing friend. And she felt the Lord, this friend, would help her. And she said the manoeuvre went off better than she would have expected, and she was able to pick up her husband, and she felt blessed and favoured, and she felt Jesus had drawn near. Drawn near in that little circumstance. Friends, I don't know how many times I say to my dear beloved flock at home, don't forget the little things in your life, because the Lord is in them. If you're rightly showed that he is, Those answers to prayer, that suitable telephone call, that message that comes at the right time. And friends, we've known a little of late. I went out for a walk one day, utterly cast down, and told the Lord that my preaching days were over. And, as I walked, I had a WhatsApp message came through. And it came through from someone in Australia, where I'd preached online some time before. And they said, "The word of the Lord through you has been blessed to us, and we hope you'll be given grace and strength to carry on." How did they know? They didn't know. They were 11,000 miles away. But the Lord knew. Jesus himself. Friends, I felt such in my heart. As I walked down the street, I believe the tears ran down my face. The Lord appeared. The Lord said to me, "You've got to carry on." And this is how he works in these, well, we say they're little things, but they're not, are they, friends? But this is how the Lord works. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Those trials, those troubles, those difficulties, those burdens. And you look at them in your family and in your wider circumstance, perhaps, and in your own life and whatever it is, at work or in your retirement, all these things, and they come in. But you see, Jesus himself drew near. And it's the promise for his people. Because the promises he gave, given to his people, is that he will never leave them. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And he won't, friends. He won't. You know, again, I think of the Easter time, but go back to that Constance Hyde, and it writes in her little chapter regarding her that when she was only about 60, I think, when she fell over and broke both of her wrists. And she said she was utterly useless. She couldn't use either hand for a period. But the Lord gave her such a sight of his pierced hand. Pierced with the nails. And, friends, she said it melted her heart. Oh, that's a spiritual blessing. And, friends, how wonderful when we get those things spiritually to our soul to strengthen us in our spiritual faith. You see, the print of the nails, and his hands were injured. Far worse than she felt hers were. Ah, and those kind hands that did such good, we nailed them to a cross of wood. That's, friends, she was blessed. What about you then? You need this, don't you? We need this word, don't we, friends? It's a word to take home and pray. Jesus himself drew near. It's so beautiful. He drew near to them. He's next by to them. So he's within talking distance. He must be very close to them. He drew near. Oh, and then he's going with them. Step by step. And friends, you can only believe that he's walking at the same pace that they were. Think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ and his dear people. Step by step, walking on in the journey of life, in the journey of faith, in the journey of belief. It's a strengthening thing, isn't it? Oh, may we know something of it. This Easter time, one of the cases that's been on my mind recently as I pondered this text is Jairus. And we know about Jairus because he was one of the rulers in the synagogue. And he knew that Jesus could save his daughter. And he came and he said, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Yes, come and lay thy hands on her." And there's these lovely words in Mark's version of this. And it says this, "And Jesus went with him." And Jesus went with him. Oh, I love it, friends, because I believe that's what the Lord does with those people that are in sorrowing and tried pathways. Jesus went with them. I don't know if any of you have read the little book that John Kingham has sent, that's been written on his life. John Kingham, of course, he was a member at Bethel Luton. But there's an interesting point in that book that's really struck me, was when he had a nervous breakdown, really, or near enough, through work pressures. He was an IT manager in a company, and this is at the turn of the century, really, about 2002 or 3, I think. I stand to be corrected, but I think about that time. And he had to take a time off work, and about 3 weeks into that time, he came down one morning to his study, sat down there, and these words were upon him: Jesus went with him. Jesus went with him. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, friends, you know, to have that feeling at times when we really need the Lord, that he is with us, that he will go before us, and that he will be with us in those difficult times that lie ahead. He will be with us in those joyous times that go ahead. He will be with us in the happy times. Because, friends, he does give us all richly all things to enjoy, and we do get pleasure in life, don't we, each of us? But there are those sorrows, there are those trials, for he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, this man, the interesting thing is Jesus went with him, but his faith got to be tried a little bit further as Jairus's. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is suddenly interrupted in his movements by a certain woman that had an issue of blood. And so Jesus stops to look after her, and you think, there's this poor man. He must be thinking, my daughter. And all the rest. And we read this actually in Mark's version that this lady is healed by the Lord Jesus, and he says, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. But while he yet spake, there come from the ruler of the synagogue's house someone that says, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? But Jesus says, now he encourages the man, because he's still walking with him. And he says, be not afraid, only believe. And so on they go, and as you know, he takes the damsel by her hand, and the 12-year-old girl, stands up and walks, and they command that she should be given something to eat. Jesus himself, none other. And I believe we get to those situations where none other will do. Oh, we have to pray, Lord, draw near. Live near me, be near. Oh. But friends, for Jesus to be near, I believe there's one thing we can learn from this little thing here, this little example here. And that is that we need to desire to be near to Jesus, for him to be near to us. Yes. And I mean it like this in prayer. It come to help us him for that closer walk with God, that calm and heavenly frame, the light that shines upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. That's what we're going to desire. And these were talking already of these things. They were communing on good things, and that we might be able to commune them, one another, of good things. And you see, that is when the Lord draws near, because he sees that desire to speak of the things of Christ, to learn and to know of the things of Christ. But it is wonderful to think this, that for most of the time, and it was only right at the end that they knew that it was the Lord Jesus, because their eyes were holden. And that speaks of poor, sinful, fallen man. So often our hearts are hard, our eyes are holden, we cannot see him, but he's with us. Because he will never leave his people. And if his love has once been upon us, it will be upon us through all eternity, friends. Even though we walk in tried paths and can't feel the presence of God, he is with us. He says, I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire, the fires of difficulty, the fire of temptation, the fire of trouble. I'm with thee. I will uphold thee. I will strengthen thee. I will go before thee. Yes. Well, friends, you see, it's a good word. It's a good word. May we pray that Jesus himself will draw near and go with us at this Easter season of the year. Well, I won't keep you, but may we contemplate the word. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I just want to quote two lines of a hymn that I love, and you may want to look it up. It's not in either of the books we got here. And that is, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Friends, it's a beautiful hymn. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen.